Good morning. I call to order this 1,341st meeting of the Board of Directors of Metro WMATA. I note the presence of a quorum. And it's gotten very dark over this side.
Yeah.
Do we know why they're in darkness? Is this the dark side?
Side of the forest.
And the bright side?
Dark side of the forest.
Are we paying the Pepco bill, Mr. Cato?
Yes, we are, Mr. Chairman. It's just an issue about age and updating this necessary for this.
I think what it is, actually, is that this I have never seen this lit up. This is a new...
Been a while, used to.
It's wrong. The problem is it isn't correct.
But that's what's...
That's what's making it brighter. We finally got the light replaced, but we'll change that and turn it off.
Okay. All right, anyway. So we have our public comment period. Do we have public comment? Can you see me over there? We have no public comment. So we have the agenda before us. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Mr. Chair.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Albert. Are there modifications to the agenda, Mr. Benjamin?
Yeah, I request that item 11-4, administrative item number 4, be referred to committee. It has some substantial policy issues associated with it that I think we would like to discuss in finance committee.
Okay, it's been moved to refer item 4, approval of tax advantage lease termination, to the finance committee for consideration. Mr. Zimmerman?
I just question, are there any implications to not doing this today?
Yes.
Could we hear that?
Please.
Yes. The implications are that we would not be able to unwind this particular transaction until the next committee, which would be after June 11th, and we have an opportunity to do that, which is in the best interest of the authority currently.
Okay, hello. That's enough for me to say, Mr. Chairman, that I think we should not have the item discussed at this point. We should keep it on the agenda, and when it comes up, hold it separate from the others, and let Mr. Benjamin then, if he wishes, move to refer it to committee, which would be in order, clearly, and we could discuss it fully then. But it seems to me it's an item that needs to be discussed by the board today. Whether or not it's acted on is another question, but it seems to me it needs to be discussed on the agenda, so I'd respectfully request that we...
Is that all right with you, Mr. Benjamin?
Yeah, I would note that the answer that was given by the chief financial officer doesn't match exactly what the item is, but we can discuss it at that point.
All right. So we will take you approval of the tax advantage lease termination will not be on consent calendar. Is there further discussion on the agenda? Further discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. We have before us the minutes of April 23rd, 2009, April 30, 2009. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read?
Move to approve both sets of minutes.
Mr. Zimmerman moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there further discussion? Is there discussion? Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. We now move to our report from the Writers Advisory Council. I see Chairperson Zinkel is here, and we are happy to have your report. Is the microphone functioning?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Zinkel. I very much appreciated the opportunity to appear before the Writers Advisory Council, and I thought the exchange that we had was very good as well. Is there a comment or a discussion or a question for Chairperson Zinkel? Please extend our thanks again to the members of your council, and thank you for your good work. The next item on the agenda is the report of the chair. I do want to mention, and Chairperson Zinkel was there, as she has already mentioned, that Mr. Cato and myself testified before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, its subcommittee on federal workforce, postal service, and the District of Columbia. I thought we had a very good exchange with, there were, I think, four or five members of Congress who appeared at the hearing. They had a great many questions. They were, of course, very interested in the issues of dedicated funding and the compact amendments. I suspect it was one of the principal motivations for inviting us to talk. And we were able to say that now all three jurisdictions have let me use the word identical. I've advised by our lawyers that it's not quite, but it's for all important purposes, the compact amendments have been passed identically by the Commonwealth of Virginia, the State of Maryland, and the District of Columbia. So now we are beginning the process of where we're understanding the process. And I want to have your guidance on this, Mr. General Manager, the process of presenting, which is, I believe, the technical phrase, presenting the amendments to Congress. And we have received at the D.C. Council, we've received the Maryland, formally have received the Maryland amendments. We haven't heard yet from the Commonwealth of Virginia, but I'm sure we will. But then how all this gets packaged and presented to Congress, I don't know. Mr. Cato, are you aware of what the process will be for this?
Sarah Klein is coming up. I have a global overview of what the process is, but the specifics, Ms. Klein can give you those details.
It will be the Sarah and Sarah show here. Sarah Klein is here and has been working with our congressional delegation throughout this whole process, and it's a couple of prongs to it. Sarah, if you want to.
Yes, the formal mechanism for presenting the amendments to the Congress for their approval is to submit a letter to each House of Congress. I've been advised by staff that the letter should be addressed from the jurisdictions. It can be the chief executive of each of the jurisdictions or another party in that body. The letter should request Congress's approval for the amendments, explain what the amendments do, and transmit copies of the signed bills from each jurisdiction to the Congress. At that point, there would need to be a joint resolution introduced in the Congress. The Congress would then have to pass that resolution, and it would be signed by the President.
So the resolution is passed by both houses of Congress, introduced in both houses and passed by both houses. Now, who is taking the lead on this? Is it WMATA who is going to organize this letter and so on?
Yes.
And you're beginning that work, or you've begun that work?
Yes.
All right. So on behalf of the District of Columbia, we're ready to do whatever the next step is, and I suspect the same is true elsewhere. Am I right, Mr.
Yes,
Benjamin?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, and am I right, Ms. Hutchins? Okay, so we're ready to go. The only other issue I wanted to mention, of course, was the money. We are now informed, is the dedicated federal funding included in the President's budget proposal, Mr. Cato?
Unfortunately, I couldn't find those dollars there. No, it's not included.
You've hunted?
I hunted. I even tried to write it in and see if that would work, but it didn't. The President did not submit a request for funding, but we are working with our congressional delegation to try to get the money included in the overall budget.
All right. Let me just take advantage of this chairman's report to ask if anyone else has any comment on the subject of dedicated funding or compact amendments. No comment. Very good. That concludes my report. We now move to the report of the general manager and CEO, Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a number of things to note since the last board meeting. One is that Maryland has passed a new transit operator law that protects operators throughout the state. We're pleased that the new legislation that the Assembly passed and signed by Governor O'Malley, effective October 1, will make it a crime for anyone to hinder or interfere with the operations of a transit vehicle, such as a Metro bus or Metro Rail. This is similar to the law that was recently passed in the District of Columbia. Now we have all three jurisdictions with legislation, the laws on the books that protects our operators as they provide transit services throughout the region. And I would like to thank the board members from Maryland for their leadership on this specific bill, as well as the Office of our Council, Bus Transportation, the Metro Transit Police, and Government Relations. And to continue on the theme of security, we have additional security cameras at our Metro Rail stations. We have installed additional cameras also on buses. Now 12 exterior surveillance cameras have been installed at 12 Metro Rail stations in the District of Columbia and Fairfax counties. Also, one-third of our buses have cameras, and we are in the process of receiving funding to also expand that to 100% of our vehicles. I'd like to thank the District of Columbia and Fairfax County for funding the cameras within those jurisdictions. Recently, in fact, this morning, on the news I heard coming in, before coming in this morning, about the reminder of the priority seats on our Metro Rail system as well as the Metro buses. We do have seats that are reserved for those with people with disabilities as well as senior citizens. And we put in new signs and arrows pointing to those seats as a reminder, as well as putting ads on our trains and the rail systems. We've developed brochures, and we have a YouTube video that has been developed for people to understand what the protocol is for utilizing those seats. It does not mean that a person who does not have a disability and who's not senior cannot use the seats. They can do so, but when someone who meets that criteria enters the rail car or our buses, they are required by federal statute to give up their seats. And so our initiative is really will help assist our customers in understanding what that requirement is. We also have improvements for our bicycle riders. Even in tough budget times, we're finding ways to make improvements. In the spirit of the bike to work activities recently that were conducted, we're replacing 350 old bicycle racks with new ones. And we are also adding 300 new bike racks at Metro stations throughout the system. Our goal is to improve the ability to use bicycles bicycle to our stations and to accommodate the growing numbers of cyclists who wish to use the system. This project really represents a 20% increase in the number of bicycle racks at stations over last year, giving us a total of 1,600 bike racks and 1,300 bicycle lockers throughout the Metro Rail system. We're also planning a bicycle and pedestrian study this year, and that will allow us to evaluate the existing and also projected use of those racks, and will give us the basis for determining what increases we have to make in the future. So that is, I think, a very good message and a very good news for cyclists within the region. Mr. Chairman, that really concludes my report. I'm now going to ask Gerald Francis, though, to introduce this month's Safety Service Star Award winners, and if you would join me in the center of the room in order to honor our employees.
Okay, I'm several months, we have been recognizing the winners of our safety award program. This month, we're recognizing the Safety Service Star Award recipients. These individuals have shown noteworthy commitment and contribution in maintaining a safe and secure environment for both customers and employees. They include employees of the maintenance team, station manager,
Now we will proceed to the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee, and we have that report being presented by Neil Albert.
Thank you, Chairman Graham. At our Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee meeting of May 14, 2009, staff sought and received committee concurrence and to authorize the FY10 annual work programs for two on-call engineering services contracts and authorization to amend the FY09 on-call consulting contract number SF5070 for construction management costs for the fully reimbursable project Glenmont 2 parking structure construction contract. I move approval of this action.
Mr. Albert has moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Ms. Hutchins. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. Mr. Albert.
There are no other action items.
Well, let me take advantage of this brief opportunity, Mr. Albert, to congratulate you. As I suspect everyone knows, Mr. Albert has been named the new city administrator for the District of Columbia. And we very much appreciate your qualifications for this, and we think you're going to do a great job. Let's have a round of applause for the new city administrator. All right. Now we proceed to the Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our first item, action item A, is for the electricity swap. There have been several iterations of the document that you see in front of you. You have the most recent iteration, which I don't believe has been sent out. It was just put in our books. This is a derivatives transaction to lock in the cost of electricity at or below budget. It executes commodity swaps to limit the potential impact of adverse price movements in the cost of electricity supply and to provide the required indemnifications. I think what's important in this one is this is not, as is sort of implied by the funding impact, an expenditure of $66 million, nor does it limit the budget at $66 million. What it does is set a derivatives transaction in which you have the dollars per kilowatt hour defined, and if the dollars go above a certain level, somebody pays us. If they go below that level, we pay somebody, the other party in this agreement, and the result is that we can hold the price of electricity at or below budget. I move approval.
Mr. Benjamin has moved approval. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and the motion is approved.
Second
Mr.
item.
Mr. Benjamin.
Our second item is you have before you a resolution that authorizes the issuance of the Series 2009 Metro Matters bonds in an amount not to exceed $340 million with a weighted average interest rate not to exceed 5.5% and a term not to exceed 25 years, subject to jurisdictions opting out with a commensurate reduction in the principal amount consistent with the Metro Matters funding agreement. The annual debt service payments would be approximately $25 million for 25 years as provided for in the Metro Matters funding agreement. I move approval.
Mr. Benjamin has moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Ms. Hutchins. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
No. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
In our third action, which is for the fiscal 2010 annual DBE program goal, this is a request for a 45-day period for public comment on a proposed goal of 25% for the annual disadvantaged business enterprise program. I move approval.
Mr. Benjamin has moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Albert. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
This item is for the neutral host reimbursable project. This will create a special reimbursable project for Metro's costs associated with the development of the wireless communication infrastructure system, which will allow any licensed user or any licensed provider
to provide signals within our system. The priority as established by the committee was the 20 busiest rail stations, followed by the tunnels within those stations, and then the rest of the system. I move approval. Mr. Benjamin has moved approval. Mr. Zimmerman has seconded. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Let me just note that this is part of the authorization legislation adopted by Congress. And so this is part of our response to that authorization. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin. This item is an interesting one. The board had enough interest in this open payment proposal that we actually gave the presentation to the staff instead of allowing the staff to give the presentation to us. This is a request for the board to approve the initiation only of a contract action to solicit proposals for an open payment system that would allow the use of contactless fare media such as credit cards and debit cards in Metro's fare system, in addition to the currently accepted Smart Trip cards and magnetic fare cards. I move approval. Mr. Benjamin has moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Ms. Hutchins. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
This completes our report, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Question, Mr. Benjamin. Regarding the upcoming meeting, and next month we'll presumably have the final action on approving the fiscal 2010 budget. I assume there'll be some discussion of that in the committee. What I'm interested in is whether we will have the opportunity at that time to look ahead, because as we're beginning the next year, fiscal year beginning in July, it's a good time to be thinking about the following fiscal year, because that's the beginning of the opportunity to have some impact on what's going to happen, because the biggest determinant in what you can control is what you do for the fiscal year beforehand. And specifically, if we'll have the chance to look at, you know, where the state of the forecast is at that point, and very specifically on revenue policy, because of course we are not going to have a fare increase this year. We did say last year that we would be doing, you know, looking at a biennial fare adjustment, and that we had prescribed a policy. So presumably we're on that, which means that there's an implication for the following year of a fare increase that would be included in the manager's budget, that is, we've already given such direction. And it's the first opportunity, I think, that we can look at what, based on what is known at that point, the likely implied fare increase would be, and what kind of revenue implications that has, and what that means for the prospective budget. And although it's early, I think given the economic and fiscal times we are in, we need to be looking at it well in advance. So I would request that we have that as part of the discussion at the committee, and specifically some estimates of what, you know, the parameters are around on the revenue side, given the parameters around fares. Obviously, the board can ultimately do something different. The manager can recommend something different. But at this point, there is an implication of policy we adopted that we are presumably still operating under. And we should start getting a sense of what that picture is likely to be, so it doesn't jump up on us, you know, in the fall. And I know, Mr. Chairman, that you've been particularly interested in pursuing an early guidance, and perhaps something on the September time frame, I guess.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. You're absolutely right. We had, as a committee, discussed the potential for guidance to be given to the general manager and to the staff for the development of the fiscal 2011 operating budget in September, that we were talking about a potential budget presentation in either December or January, and the publication of an actual detailed budget for us to review at that time. Certainly one of the issues that will have to be considered is the fare increase, which presumably would be part of that budget proposal unless the general manager has other ways of balancing the budget. I don't know whether at this time staff is prepared to talk about the various parameters and possibilities for such a fare increase, and whether you could get that together in time for the next meeting. Is there any comment from staff?
What we could get together actually very quickly is what Mr. Zimmerman requested in terms of the existing policy on that has already
cost of living
adopted and things like that, so we can actually provide that framework to the committee as information.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just to conclude, Mr. Chairman, I think it's pretty straightforward because all we need is rough parameters. You know what's cost of living, you know, you have a forecast for cost of living, and that'll at least give you a range, a ballpark figure, which will inform the discussion, which the committee chairman wants to have in looking to guidance for the next year.
And I
thank you.
Let me just clarify, Mr. Zimmerman, are you asking for different ways to meet that number?
I'm interested in the idea of what, if you follow the policy, regardless of the specific way down to where you raise this for that fare, it implies a certain amount of increased revenue. You know, there's an order of magnitude. I'm interested in knowing what the order of magnitude of change in revenue is of following the policy that we have in place and how that would impact the fiscal situation as best we can see it 6 months before the budget's to be presented.
Messrs. Zimmerman and Benjamin, I would just like to caution, you know, I feel like we're kind of a, you know, jumping the gun a little bit here. I mean, we have large issues to consider next year, in the next fiscal year, I mean to say, and we certainly are prepared to tackle those issues, but I think we should await the general manager's proposals on this regard. I do want to say in addition that we have heard from our Writers Advisory Council who are interested in early consultation. And I do want to have that included in this particular equation, but I'm not comfortable with instructions being given at this point. I'd like to see what the general manager comes up with and the chief financial officer. Mrs. Hutchins.
I agree there may be some caution as to what information we ask that we want now or how we want it, I would hope that we do start early and we define a clear process that is the beginning and the start, the beginning and the ending date of activities that we will see when information will come and when we will engage our public in this. I think we can always end up with the right results that we want. The problem that too often can happen to us is that it has been or may appear to be by happenstance that we go down certain paths. So I think it is very important that the public is equally as clear of what the process is going to be, and as we work through the coming budget, it will not only be the difficulty of the budget, but the ability to articulate to our general public what our needs are and hear from them in an early enough stage as well as in an informed process.
Mr. Benjamin, do you have a final comment?
Yes. What I think I'm hearing, just so that we have a conclusion for staff and they have some form of direction, is a request that if a fare increase were to be considered, and if it were to be done in accordance with the board policy that's already been adopted, order of magnitude, what would that generate? Not how would we generate it, but how much money would be generated from it. And a second request, and that is for basically a schedule for the development of the fiscal 2011 operating budget. And I'm happy to work with staff on putting those two items together.
Well, I just have to say that I would like to see a larger presentation than that. We're not just talking about one particular mechanism to find needed revenues. We're interested in a range of options presented at that time, Mr. Cato. And so I don't think we're instructing one way or another. I think it would be premature. I think it would be controversial to say one thing over other things. And so if you could give us those range of options, we're always interested in discussing whatever options are available in order to meet our budget challenges. That concludes the report of the Finance Committee. We now move to administrative items. There are four administrative items. I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to do that. We have the report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee, Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. We had one action item, but we do not have it ready for your consideration at this meeting. The discussion, I think, was quite full on the retail proposal for retail and stations, and the conclusion of which was to ask that it be brought back next month. The most significant action we took, of course, was to exclude food from consideration of that, which will be brought for action in June, and a number of other concerns that I think were well articulated just about an hour ago, and we all look forward to that discussion at next month's meeting. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. We now move to administrative items. There are four administrative items, one of which has already been asked to be set aside for discussion. Is there objection to considering items 1, 2, 3 in block, and by way of consent, is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing none, then I would entertain a motion to approve item 1, approval to initiate and award a contract for carousel conversion to AC power. Item number 2, approval to initiate and award multiple contracts for outplacement services. Number 3, approval to award contract for hardware for next fair. Is there a motion
to
that
effect? Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the general manager's recommendations on those items.
Okay, Mr. Zimmerman has moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Those three matters are approved. We now move to item number 4, approval of tax advantage lease termination. Ms. Kissel, I'm sorry. I don't know where I came up with Kissel there. Ms. Kissel, the general manager, someone over there. Do you wish to present the item, please?
Yes, this actually is a request to provide us the ability to unwind the existing tax leases that we have remaining, which number 12. We started out with 16. We have unwound 4, and it is requesting to give us the ability to do that under the parameters that have been dictated by the board, which is at no cost to the authority, other than the committed transaction costs that we actually are obligated to pay under the agreements, which on average has been costing us less than $100,000 per agreement.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the tax advantage lease termination? I move the tax advantage lease termination. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Graham and seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Now, is there discussion on the matter? Mr. Benjamin.
Mr. Chair, I have no problem if there is a rush with us considering any particular lease-back termination at this point, and if necessary, approving that. What concerns me is blanket approval without the committee having an opportunity and the board having an opportunity to understand all of the parameters and all of the constraints and make sure that those are properly established for all of the remaining transactions, all 12. So if the staff wanted to come before us for one and say, this is what we're doing here, and here are the implications, no problem. If the staff wants to discuss with us in greater detail, what do we do for all 12 so we can have authority to do all 12, that's fine. But I don't view as an administrative item with very little additional information put into it and no discussion on the part of the board that it's appropriate to give blanket authority for all 12 transactions.
It might facilitate matters, Mr. Benjamin, and if you were so inclined, to make the motion that you made earlier. If you're not inclined, we can proceed to vote on the motion.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I understand that there is a concern about at least one transaction, so I'd like to understand that.
If I may, the one transaction came to our attention as of last week, which is why it was a last-minute item to the board agenda. And given the fact that the market conditions change on a daily basis, these investments or equities are requesting to us on a very last-minute basis that they want to actually do an unwind on a very quick turnaround time because it's to their advantage from a tax point of view. And that is the only reason why we are requesting the blanket approval, if you will, of course, under the conditions that the board has already set, that it's at no cost to the authority with regard to just, minor transaction costs. And that is why the request has been provided for all 12. And might I add that the board is on recess in August, and to the extent that we have requests that come up to unwind, we would not be able to actually perform to do that in our best interest as quickly as we'd like to.
Mr. Solomon and Mrs. Hutchins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It doesn't seem to be, time is, doesn't seem to be of the essence. That one particular transaction, one out of 12, may be of essence in terms of timeliness, but the other 11 probably could wait until you have a chance to present this item to a committee. And we'll be here in June, we'll be here in July, and so you have a couple of months to do that. So I'm a little leery about giving you a blanket on all 12 when there's only seemed to be a rush on one. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just respond to that, that you're right. However, it's the urgency of the investor, the equities, if you will, the banks, that are dictating the time frame. So if it's in their best interest because of the way the market is moving in terms of rates, they would like to unwind before they actually get any other penalty or becomes in a detrimental position for them. And that's the only reason we would like to unwind them from the authority basis, but it's being driven by the equity banks that are the timing of it.
I just want you to expand on the clarity then about what is there any risk of the inability to address each of these as part of a response to those individual investors in order to reach the same conclusion that we reached when we unwound the prior. My only concern would be if in seeking this approval that we are agreeing to the same terms that we agreed to before, and that by not granting it, we will not find ourselves at a risk on any of the remaining 11 transactions between now and the next board meeting, or in the committee meeting with that approval. That would be my concern, and we had a sense of urgency before on the four, and I would just like to hear you tell us that urgency is less or is still.
I'll respond to that by saying this, that if we cannot respond upon request to unwind a transaction, we could be in a position where one of the equities would not provide us with an extension, which we are currently operating under now, on these agreements. And if that was the case, the most detrimental position could be that, as they have done before, they could put us in a event of default. That's the worst-case scenario. I'm not suggesting that that would happen, but that would be, under the agreement as it appears now, that is their right to do. And that is why it's urgent for us to actually move as quickly as we can when we see that the equities want to unwind at no cost to us.
Mr. Chairman, so can the understanding be that by approving all 12, that you can act on the one particular one that we know most specifically today, and that you have the authority to act on the others as deemed necessary prior to the ability to come back to this board, to brief the board, say, in committee?
Let's ask Mr. Cato for the answer to that.
Yes, I understand what you're proposing, but let me sit back just to make sure. That should a circumstance arise where we must unwind before a committee meeting because of time restraints, that we would have that authority. But if we find that a firm wanted to unwind and there is sufficient time to bring it to committee and bring it to the board, that we would do so. And we would use that ability only in those cases where there is not time.
Mr. Benjamin.
Ms. Kessel, has anything changed between our last approval and now in terms of the urgency in approving any of these?
The urgency is still there. Thank you. What has been changing is there's been legislation that's being prepared on the Hill through the Senate Finance Committee to actually put together a penalty, if you will, on equities who terminate these in the way they have been looking to do. So, if you will, if they gain a profit on the tax piece of it, the penalty would be an excise tax. So, some of the equities are looking to unwind before that becomes a legislation that's introduced by the Senate Finance Committee. So there is a level of urgency on behalf of the market to unwind them.
May I propose, Mr. Chair, an alternative to the package that is before us, and that is, if you could please prepare for us very quickly an approval for the one that is immediately before you, and discuss it with us either in executive session, if you can't do it openly, or when we return after our executive session. And then we'll give you temporary authority, if necessary, between now and the next Finance Committee meeting to do any others that come up in the next couple of weeks. And then after that, could we schedule for this coming Finance Committee meeting a discussion of the various parameters and the various factors that the board may want to set for all future transactions so that we can give you that kind of blanket authority? That will give us a chance to carry out our fiduciary responsibility, give you flexibility between now and the next Finance Committee meeting, and also take care of the one that's immediately before you.
So let me see if I understand what I construe to be a motion. Am I right?
I can certainly make that a motion if we're
which is that we're going to approve the immediate transaction that's before us. We would give you the authority to act between now and the Finance Committee should the need for action arise. And then at the Finance Committee, these issues would be considered with action taken at that time and subsequent board meetings.
May I adjust that slightly? And that is, I'd like to get a presentation on what actually is before us right now, because we don't have anything before us. So,
well,
if we can get that information, and I don't know whether that's executive session information or open session.
Ms. Kissel?
Thank you. I would just add that all of these agreements are subject to their disclosures, where we confidentiality, thank you. And as a result, speaking about them in a public session in terms of the committee, we would be prohibited from doing that.
Executive session and come back.
Okay, then that could be an item that we would discuss in executive session, and then when we reconvene, we could
act on that item.
Would it be, and that would be appropriate for us to act when we reconvene?
Right.
Is that right?
Well, we wouldn't be able to act on the June 11th. That's not a board meeting date.
No, today.
Sorry. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Today.
So, sorry.
And what we'll do in an executive session is just clarify those other pieces that we talked about so that you don't get into a problem. And if an action is required publicly, we will do that also.
All right. Does everyone understand?
My microphone keeps going off.
Well, but you're finished now, aren't you?
I'm finished.
Okay. So there being, does everyone understand the motion? Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the motion is carried. We now move to reports. The District of Columbia, Mr. Albert. Well, now, Mr. Linton is not here, so for Maryland, Mr. Benjamin?
No report.
Oh, wait a minute. We do
have Mr. Solomon has a report.
As part of the recent public hearings, Maryland proposed some bus service adjustments at the harbor.
One, and in essence, it's changing the pick-up and drop-off location from Southern Avenue to Branch Avenue. The state of Maryland and Prince George's County have asked me to note here today that both the county and the state would like the authority to implement those changes as soon as possible, and would like the general manager to include the appropriate budget approval in the upcoming FY10 budget. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Solomon. And now we go to Mrs. Hutchins for the report from the Commonwealth of Virginia.
No report.
Okay, we then proceed to our motion for executive session, which has to be modified now, because I will move that the board meet in executive session to discuss fiscal. Or would that be under Our lease termination is under contractual.
Yes.
All right, we don't have to modify it then at all. I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss personnel matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6C and contractual matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6D. Let me note that we will convene an open session of the board following the executive session to act upon items discussed in executive session, if necessary. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted. Now we will now proceed into executive session. Thank you all very much.